on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, March 23rd, 2026 edition of InvestTalk, and always, as it seems in 2026, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to unpack with what's going on in the market. We had a nice bounce today. If you watch my weekend video, you'll know that it was titled, Are We Set Up for a Bounce? And there were some reasons for that. You should probably go check that out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. But nonetheless, this was somewhat of a predictable bounce in markets. And question for all investors, at least in the near term, is, will this stick, or is this just going to be a short-term bounce for this week? We have a five-day pause, it seems, on major hostilities in the Middle East. So the market certainly likes that. So we'll be talking about that for this hour and much, much more. We'll be answering your finance and investment questions. So anything money-related, we're here for it. I'll bring you actionable data and insights across the market on different topics. I have those set up here. But once again, this is going to be about you, your questions, your concerns, and my answers. And in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I'm calling today about Interactive Brokers, ticker IBKR. You think this is a good company to hold on to? I've had it in my portfolio for not very long, about 8 months. Thank you very much. Bye.
Looking at Interactive Brokers, IBKR is the symbol. Earnings are expected to be up 13% this year, 10% next year. Now, those estimates are coming down a little bit as the market has gotten a bit rockier. So there's some correlation here with the broader market. But if you're largely bullish, then they're going to continue to do fairly well. Their profit metrics are solid. Return equity around 23.5%. And return on invested capital around 11%. That return on equity has been fairly steady for a couple of years now and near an all-time high. So your argument could be, well, maybe they're over-earning. But I think overall, this is in a good place. They don't have much debt on their balance sheet. Very good cash flow. And what are they doing with that cash flow? They're paying out a little bit of a dividend, around 13% dividend yield or payout ratio, excuse me. But they're not buying back shares. Shares continue to go up, and that worries me a little bit. I'd rather be taking that cash flow and, once again, buying back shares, but they're not really doing that. But their free cash flow is very strong. The relative strength is good. You have a 85 relative strength, so one of the better performing stocks over the past year. So overall, I like it. I would hold on to it. It's being used by a lot of individual investors more and more. And it's one of those bigger brokers. The brokerage industry has consolidated over the years. The handful of names from, you kind of got your Fidelity, Schwab's, that's who we use. And then Interactive Brokers, E-Trade. And then it's hard to find, you know, any major ones beyond those four. So it's in that club. Its technology is maybe not as good as some of the others, but a lot of people do like Interactive Brokers. So I'm going to stick with that stock, IBKR. Now, hope you had a chance to participate in our InvestTalk Market Madness contest. And we had some winners for today. And we're going, if you want to check out our preview or a review of the first half of round one, we had that video up over the weekend on our YouTube channel as well. And we'll have another one here coming up tomorrow. So to close out round one, tomorrow is the last region of round one. And Wednesday, well, actually, I believe Thursday, we're on to round two. We have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, I'll get to all of it. Our main focus point is about the flight to safety asset, still working in 2026. And it's a lot about where money is flowing from a jurisdictional standpoint. It's something a lot of people don't talk about. It's not just is it in treasuries or into gold, et cetera, but also where in the world is the money headed? We'll talk about that. In addition, we have other topics. One is in regards to the oil companies, the big oil companies. They're making a lot of money from high oil prices, but a lot of them are losing from their plants and facilities being damaged amongst all of the hostilities in the Middle East. And then $5 diesel. It's hurting truckers, but will soon be felt across the economy. So what will you feel? What impact will it have beyond just the truckers? Because that will feed through into transportation costs for all types of goods and services. So we'll dig into that. And then there was a study that looked at over or nearly 30,000 common stocks over the past 100 years, from 1926 to 2025. And there's some interesting statistics there around what works and what doesn't. So hopefully dig into that story. We also have voice bank calls on Hertz as well as Micron Technology, MU. And then we have some questions that came in via our YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART. But we're going to head into a quick break. Please remember, you can call anytime. Leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or possibly an AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. And up next, I'll comment on today's market activity.
When you tell your friends about InvestTalk and they ask you why you listen, let them know there are many reasons, and one is parallel investing from KPP Financial and InvestTalk host Justin Klein. Parallel investing means Justin invests right alongside KPP Financial clients. He makes the same trade for KPP Financial on the same day, at the same price, and the same percentages as KPP clients. There's no front running and no special treatment. In this way, Justin and KPP Financial share the same risks and the same potential for success. Parallel investing aligns the interests of Justin and KPP Financial with those of his clients. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your questions about parallel investing. And you can learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's take a look at the market, and it was a bounce back day. You had the NASDAQ up 1.4%, S&P up a little over 1%. We did fade throughout the day, so that was notable. It wasn't a super strong rally in that sense. You would like to see us close near the high end of the day. Now, you could see some fall through tomorrow. That would be healthy. My guess, though, is we go into a choppier period because there's no guarantee that these hostilities are going to end in the short term. So the question is, what do you do with this bounce? Well, you probably use it to adjust your portfolio, maybe trim some names that had some relative weakness, maybe you're overweight, etc., and find what's working in this market. And today was a day where you had names like Microsoft and Google were barely up. Same with Eli Lilly and Johnson & Johnson. Those are some bigger names that were kind of flat. You only had names like Tesla and Palantir. Those were up. So kind of the riskier names in the market were stronger. Overall, that's generally a positive. But you also had Costco down. So certainly a lot of some laggards there for sure. And on the consumer staple side, a lot of names that were flat to down. I think that's reflecting the higher fuel costs that remain in the market, remain in the economy, even though oil prices were down a little bit today. it still remains relatively elevated. You saw WTI ended down 10.4%. That was the biggest decline since March. And Brent was down 12.2%. But ultimately, we're still very elevated. And I expect a very, very choppy period going forward. Bitcoin is up 1.2%, silver down 0.4%, dollar down 0.6%, and gold finished down 3.7%. But a lot of gold miners were up big, so I thought that was of note. You had treasuries a bit stronger. You had the 10-year hit 4% earlier this week. That ended down 5 basis points. So a little bit of optimism around the treasury market as a whole. You've seen the MOVE index move pretty higher, and that is not a good sign. You definitely want to see calm in the treasury market, and the MOVE index is basically a measure of calm. It hit 110 for the first time since May of last year. Now, 140, 150, that's where things get rough, and probably the Fed needs to step in. However, it's something I'm continuing to watch to see if that heads higher. Today, it headed a bit lower, closed around 98. So that was good. But overall, I'll still be watching that. So that was the market today. I expect a very choppy headline-driven week ahead. So let's pivot over to a YouTube comment question. Selena Marie says, what are your thoughts on long-term hold in XYL? XYL. They have paid down debt, increased free cash flow per share, and have strong international growth potential. They make water equipment and provide services for water and wastewater applications to the water industry. XYL. Xylem is the name of the company. We've talked about this in the past. It certainly pulled back as of late. Let me pull up these charts here. Return equity around 8.4%. Solid, not amazing. Free cash flow is out at $873 million on about a $30 billion market cap. It's, what, about a 3% free cash flow yield? Okay, but certainly not amazing. Earnings are expected to be up 8% this year, 10% next year. So decent growth, but once again, not gangbusters here. How much do you want to pay for a name with okay profitability, no debt, which is good, decent free cash flow yield, but nothing, frankly, to write home about. Its enterprise value to EBITDA is right around 14. Over the last 10 years, that is on the low end of the range. But I don't love the technicals. Let me zoom out here. Yeah. I mean, it is making a series of higher highs and higher lows. It's kind of marching up. And you've gotten this pretty large pullback. Down 22% from its 52-week high, which for this type of name is a strong pullback. This is in good support. Let me draw a trend line here. I would buy this down around 110. And now we're at 125, 120 right now. So I think there's some more downside to go. If you want to step in here, I'm fine with that. Maybe sell some puts down around 110, 110 strike. That's not a bad idea as well. So that's the way I would play this name, Xylem. Let's play a quick question now.
Hi, I was calling regarding the WD-40 company, Whiskey, Delta, Foxtrot, Charlie. I was just curious to see if this would be a good entry point and if this is a good company to invest in. I appreciate it.
Looking at WDFC, excuse me, that is the name. And it's a global marketer of not just WD-40, but Carpet Fresh, Spot Shot, 1001, a lot of home cleaning brands, so we say. Return equity around 35%. You certainly like that level of profitability. No debt on its balance sheet. Free cash flow right around $80 million on a $3 billion market cap. So once again, about a 3% free cash flow yield. That's okay. Dividend is certainly sustainable with the lack of debt. Buying back shares. And the chart overall is pulled back to pretty good support. So I'm going to give this one a thumbs up, WDFC. Smaller cap name, not going to be a huge grower. In fact, earnings supposed to be down 9% this year and then back up 8% next year. But still, over the last 10 years or so, they've been grinding out earnings growth. So I'm going to give WDFC a thumbs up. Now we're heading to a break. We thank you for helping us achieve more than 62 million downloads in our history. So give me a call with your questions now at 888-99-CHART.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
We're going to go talk to Frank in Fremont looking at Costco.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing pretty well. Do you own Costco or something you're looking to pick up?
Well, I bought Costco about a week ago because I thought it had gone down quite a bit. I've been looking at it the last few years. It goes up and down quite a bit. I know it was at a high about a year ago of maybe about $1,050, and now today it's at $960. Only a few years ago it was below $500. So I was just wondering if you think it's a good time to buy Costco. I really like the company. I know they do well with membership renewals. And I like the company overall. I was just wondering if you think it's still too high or if it's a good time to buy right now.
Well, you're right that Costco is a great business and a big part of their profits is just recurring revenue from their memberships, which I am a member. And if you've listened to the show long enough, you probably know Luke is a big fan of Costco. And so their business is very strong, very consistent. And you got to love that. Their profitability, return equity around 30%. Free cash flow around $9 billion, net cash on their balance sheet, but a market cap of $428 billion. So a free cash flow yield right around 2%. Now, the issue here is the multiples it's trading at. It's trading at about 50 times trailing earnings. And if you go even based on next year's earnings of expected to be $22.50, you're still talking a mid-40s multiple. That's pretty high. And if you look at other metrics like enterprise value to EBITDA, that's around 31. Historically, this isn't cheap until that's closer to the high teens. So I would be very patient on it. And if you look at the chart, like you said, it topped back earlier last year at about little over $1,000 per share. And it's certainly been in a choppy downward pattern since then. It hit a recent low around 850 or so, bounced to about 1,020, and like you said, now around 965. And the relative weakness today, I thought, was notable, actually down on a day that was up. So I actually think this is headed lower. It needs to be a reasonable multiple. I'm happy to pay a premium to the market for this name, but am I paying double the market multiple for a company's earnings growth is, it's good. It's around 10% or so, but it's not massive. And certainly there's some risk here from a cyclical standpoint that if higher fuel costs, inflation just hurt the consumer enough, they'll pull back on spending. And a good amount of Costco's revenue comes from discretionary items like TVs and home audio, things like that. So I would be very patient on it. I probably wouldn't own this until, let me give you a number because I do want to, around 660.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I would not shock me to see that get there in the next couple of years. It's not that I don't like Costco. It's just if you have higher interest rates, that typically shrinks multiples in the markets. You have higher inflation, that shrinks multiples in the markets. You know, a stagflationary environment, which we're increasingly looking like we're going into, makes high multiple names a lot more vulnerable. And this is exactly one of those. So it's nothing against Costco. It's just, it's been bid up to levels that are just unreasonable from a valuation standpoint.
Yeah, I understand. You never know how, you know, people are going to react, or, you know, it might just keep going higher. You never know how people.
It could, but I'm looking at the chart as well. So it's not just the fundamentals. And this looks like a very toppy week chart since that high earlier last year. So to me, this is probably a multi-year correction in price and in time, and having the fundamentals catch up with the price at the very least. And ultimately, if you hit a recessionary environment, I think this also would hurt their earnings, bring multiples down considerably, and probably bring it down to at least the 750 level and maybe all the way to 660.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Thank you very much. I would have never, you know, I have been so patient with it, but I appreciate your input. I like that a lot. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for the call, Frank. Well, we're heading into a quick break, and I want to remind you that at KP Financial, we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. So if you ever have any questions on that, how that works, how we execute it, head over to investtalk.com, read more about it, and submit your portfolio review. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this story. Prediction market platforms, how Polymarket and sports betting are reshaping finance. Major League Baseball's exclusive partnership with Polymarket signals that the growing acceptance of prediction markets in mainstream finance. These platforms are evolving from niche betting sites to legitimate forecasting tools that could reshape how markets price risk and uncertainty. We'll dig into that story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein, and we are ready to take your calls anytime on 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7. For your finance and investment questions.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. And our main focus point is about flight to safety assets. What's still working in this environment? Now, typically, it's treasuries. And if you are investing in short-term treasuries, that's still done fairly well. You don't have to worry too much about the duration risk there, even though if you look at something like an SHY, that's the 1 to 3 year treasury bond ETF that did go from 83 recently to about 82, spot 43, the close today. That's over about a month period. So there was some decline in price, about 0.5% or so there. But nothing major. That's still relatively safe. Now, you can go to ultra short-term treasury bills. There's no real volatility there. But for a lot of people, they think treasuries, they want yield. They think a 10-year treasury yield. And that is where volatility certainly picked up in a material way. The IEF went from 98 all the way to 95 as of the last month. So it's not really working as a flight to safety. And gold's pulled back as well. Certainly, it was overbought earlier this year and needed a bit of a refresh. So that should be expected, but it goes back to the understanding of what you own and understanding that volatility in that asset class typically does not change over short periods of time, maybe over long periods of time, but over short periods of time, usually doesn't. It usually acts similar to how it has in the past, which is gold or any commodities are subject to large price swings. And you have to know that. You have to expect that. But let's talk about a shift in not just the asset class, but jurisdiction. And this is big when it comes to those in the Middle East, assets in the Middle East, because this is changing the calculus. This war, this conflict is changing the calculus for a lot of people, especially in Dubai, the tax-free place. A ton of wealthy people flock there because of that tax status. But now you've seen Iranian drones hit major landmarks in Dubai, including the Burj Al Arab Hotel, one of the largest hotels in the world. Airports have been damaged, and the ultra-rich are looking for an exit. Now, in 2025, the UAE brought in $63 billion in wealth. $63 billion in wealth. So there's a ton of wealthy there. 9,800 millionaires moved there last year. I haven't been there, but I know a lot of friends that, I do have some friends that live there. I know a lot of friends that go there. And I've heard some pretty crazy stories, pretty interesting stories. And it's not shocking to hear that charter companies have been overwhelmed with evacuation requests during this conflict, some flights costing up to $350,000. Hey, you can afford it. If it's to save your life, you're going to spend it. Now, this has made many of those wealthy individuals rethink their relocation to the UAE and Dubai. Now, where are they going, or where are their assets going? Most importantly, that is Switzerland, per usual. Now, more than a dozen bankers and financial advisors managing over $1 trillion in assets that they expect Switzerland to pull a significant amount of new money from the Middle East. Talking about banks, family offices, high net worth individuals, all currently looking to move assets. First, it's going to be cash, and followed by stocks and bonds after that. And you know this is true because the Swiss franc recently surged to the strongest level against the euro since 2015. And Switzerland's second largest private bank by AUM, Assets Under Management, reported a record high number in assets under management at the end of last year. And they expect trillions and trillions more. Now, how much money moves? Well, it depends on how long the war lasts. But for now, the Swiss franc remains probably the second best safe haven asset. Over the dollar is getting some safe haven bids. But I think that has more to do with a shift in Fed policy expectations from rate cuts to now likely rate increases. And that's notable as well. So this is in motion and underappreciated. So if you're looking for a long-term currency to hold, if you're worried about the dollar, worried about our fiscal situation, you think the new Fed chairman will become very dovish and actually cut rates, which would weaken the dollar, then the Swiss franc is definitely up there with the best currencies, most attractive currencies in the world. Now we've got time. You want answers? Let's roll in a listener question now from 888.
Hey, Justin, Bill from Philadelphia here, calling about Supermicrocomputers, ticker SMCI. It's another chip company, and is down close to 30% after hours. I believe there were a few executives that were smuggling chips to China, or some kind of news like that, where it was internal. I'm not sure that the fundamentals of the company have changed due to this, and was wondering if this would be a good opportunity to pick up some shares. Again, I don't think the fundamentals really changed, so hopefully that this news of the three executives just passes and it could possibly bounce here. Let me know your thoughts. Love what you guys do on the show. Thank you.
Looking at Supermicrocomputer, and last week the stock did plunge about 30%+ on a news, this is on Friday, that I believe they were arrested, if I remember correctly. Let me find the headline here. But there were some executives that were arrested because they were selling banned chips to China, which we've put controls on that, export controls on that, and they've gone around that, and obviously that was illegal. So that was one, that's one big problem. And this comes after sometime, I believe it was last year, maybe it was the year before, I can't remember the exact date, but there were some issues with accounting. And so what you're seeing here is a pattern. of Breaking the Law. And this is a name that peaked at $123 per share or so back in 2024 and fell all the way as of the fall of 2024 down to about $17, bounced back to around 60 and change. Now we're back down to 21. So this is a long-term now downtrend. It's been a couple of years. I don't invest in these names. I don't invest in companies that have accounting issues. I don't invest in companies whose executives are breaking the law. Because that tells you a lot about their business ethics and how much you can actually trust what they're telling the public about these earnings, about its profitability, about its orders. And there's nothing special about really what they do. So I don't care what the fundamentals say. When you see a backdrop of corporate activity like this, you want to run far away. Let's tackle another voicemail question now.
Hey guys, calling in today about Hertz Global, ticker symbol HTZ. Curious on your take on the turnaround narrative story. The stock has just reclaimed a $4 price target on news that the travel industry demand is increased per American Airlines and Delta Airlines. This was a Bill Ackman investment back in April of 25, where he took a sizable portion of an investment. And curious on your guys' take on rental car industry long-term and Hertz from a stock perspective. Thanks.
Well, I think we answered this question last week, but I'll do it again. Basically, I don't think that Hertz is going to pull out of the level of debt that it carries, about $18 billion in net debt and has negative free cash flow. Certainly, the costs of travel are going up because of oil prices and jet fuel prices. You have the issue with the TSA funding, all of that. That's going to weigh on their business, and that's why earnings are expected to be negative again this year after losing a bunch of money last year and the year before. So I don't care what Bill Ackman does. Doesn't matter to me. This is not a name you want to touch. Let's touch a bit on the oil industry. It's in the news right now in a big, big way. And you would think that higher oil prices are going to help everybody within the industry. And I would say most, but not all, because one of the reasons for oil prices being so high is that facilities around the Middle East are being hit and damaged, and many of them completely destroyed. And nothing summarizes that better than the recent Iranian missile attack on the Pearl gas to liquid facility in Qatar. This was Shell's crown jewel. And it was so heavily damaged that it's expected to be shut down for at least 1 year. And Shell isn't the only one that's exposed. Exxon heavily exposed as well. They have more at stake in Qatar than any other big oil company. Around 1/5 of its oil and gas production comes from the Middle East overall. Chevron has big gas assets across off the coast of Israel that has been shut down. ConocoPhillips has Qatari gas assets. And about 17% of Total Energy's annual operating income comes from oil and gas that moves through the Straits of Hormuz. So these are facilities that cost billions of dollars. In fact, the Pearl facility, Shell's Pearl facility, cost $20 billion to build and is the largest in the world that turns gas into liquid petroleum products and is a crown jewel of Shell. It's one of the top performing assets. So over the past decade, the largest U.S. and European oil companies have pulled back spending on exploring new oil frontiers, new big projects, and really doubled down on the Middle East, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. And that's helped their profits in a material way, but it's left them obviously exposed to geopolitical risks. Exxon itself is expected to lose about $5 billion in revenue from their Qatari natural gas facility. And they think that could take 5 years to bring back online. Now, $5 billion sounds a lot. Exxon last year had $330 billion in revenue. So that's less than 2% of their revenue. But Exxon has evacuated its non-essential staff from the Middle East earlier this month. That means a lot of facilities are coming offline. And it's not just the big boys. Some of the medium and small players as well. Occidental Petroleum has a large stake in UAE's Shah gas field. They suspended production after an Iranian drone attack. And then the oil service companies, Baker Hughes, Schlumberger, all provide oil and gas equipment across the Middle East. Now, Exxon is up almost 5% since the start of the war. Shell up 9. ConocoPhillips up 12. So far, it's not damaging their stocks. But if this is short-lived, I could see those have some pretty decent reversals, because these oil prices have to stay elevated for them to make enough profits to make up for these damages and their cost to rebuild them. Now, what's interesting is that a lot of shale producers from EOG, Continental Resources, they were looking overseas for investment opportunities when they kind of pulled back from U.S. shale fields, because it didn't seem like there were a lot of great shale opportunities domestically. Lucky for a lot of them, they didn't deploy a lot of capital over there. So they're a bit more immune. So it's certainly a mixed bag when you're looking at the oil industry. You have to look at their exposure to the Middle East and the damage that is being caused there. And frankly, the domestic shale producers are going to come out probably looking the best. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
Quick question. What are some signs of that a recession is coming?
Is there any lesson for people who own stocks, even if they don't short a stock, that the stock they own, they should know whether it's been heavily shorted?
InvestTalk is ready 24/7.
If this gets to 170 to 175 in that range, that's where I'd pick it up.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate it.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA. Curious if you think it'd be better for me to let it go and spend money elsewhere.
I'm a new investor, and your podcast has helped me out a lot.
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART, or post your questions on the InvestTalk YouTube channel.
There are a few things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP. On the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Hi, Justin and Luke. My name is Neil from Chicago, longtime listener. Love your show. Thank you for what you do. I had a question about the stock ticker MU, Micron. I have had a small amount in my portfolio for some time, and then I bought some more right before earnings last week. And then it's been dropping like a hot potato in spite of blockbuster earnings. Now, I understand that it's gone up significantly in the last couple of weeks, and the earnings blockbuster may have been already baked in. From a support level, where do you see it going in the next couple of weeks? Do you see any risk in holding on? Should I just cut my losses and move out, or hold it on for some time? I'm willing and able to hold it for a couple of months, if that helps. Thank you. I'll hear the answer on the show.
Well, for a name like Micron, there's certainly risk, and a lot of risk. And the relative strength today, being down 4% in a day where the market was up over 1%, is telling. Now, what does Micron do? They make DRAM. They make memory. And there's been a shortage of memory. And earnings are exploding. So it's making $55 this year and $92 next year. When they lost money in 2023. And pre-pandemic, 2019, they made $6.29. It was all about memory prices just exploding to start the year. But most likely, this is a flash in the pan. That is the history of memory prices as well as semiconductors in general. Very, very volatile business. And Micron and many others across the industry are expanding production, increasing supply. What happens when supply goes up? Well, prices go down. And this looks like it has topped. You had a high in late January. It pulled back a little bit, made an incremental new high recently, just last week, at around 470, and already dropped to about 404 at the close today. And then there's MACD divergence. There's a lot of signs that this is the top in Micron and most likely a lot of memory producers. We had, I believe, SanDisk earnings last week. And it looked great, but it was not enough to rally that stock either in a material way. And they're both looking very toppy. You have to understand this industry. It is extremely, extremely cyclical and very high risk. So I would be selling Micron. Now, lastly, I want to cover a quick study. I looked at 30,000 roughly U.S. listed public companies over the past 100 years. And the average buy and hold return across all stocks is over 30,000% over that time period. The median return, however, 6.9%. The median. Not the average, the median. It means the middle. Stock right in the middle of the 30,000 to 15,000 stock performance is negative 6.9%. So what that tells you is nearly 60% of all stocks actually earn less than treasury bills over that time period. But it was the handful of strong performers that drove the returns. The top individual performer over that period, Altria Group, which split off into Philip Morris, and it used to be Philip Morris, now it's Altria and Philip Morris International split off. The highest cumulative percentage return was actually Apple, created the most dollar wealth. And between 1926 and 2016, 89 firms drove about half of the market's total wealth creation. Think about that. And from 2017 to 2025, only 46 firms were responsible for half of the wealth creation. So what that tells you is the majority of your names you're going to buy, they're going to lose money. So what you have to do is put yourself in good quality names, because the quality names are the ones that rise to the top. Maybe not in a particular week or a particular month or even a particular year, but over time, they're going to be the most consistent, and they're the ones that are going to create wealth. So if you're going to sit there and keep chasing the latest hot stock, the latest high flyer, probably going to get burned. Focus on quality. Now, I'm Justin Klein. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify. And head over to YouTube and watch our YouTube videos as well. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.